Welcome to another edition of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. I am back, the head of the table, 8 days, and I'm doing a podcast with a fused freaking neck. That's just the guy I am. I am Chief Keith Fleming. With me, as always, the guys I've missed who did an amazing podcast last week while I was out, like really interesting. My man, Ravishing Ronnell Tinsley, and Sam the Shooter Howell. What's going on, guys?
Doing fantastic, brother. Great to have you back.
Yeah, glad to have you back.
Glad to be back.
We're gonna have to start calling you the brain.
That's right. Actually, Sam gave me one of the greatest compliments of all time. Ronnell, and really upset RC with the Matthew McConaughey doppelganger
Oh, yeah, I saw
thing,
that.
which my wife even was like, I might could see it, but I don't know. But there was one other person, and it was a girl, which makes it even better, that agreed. So it's like, see, RC, it's possible. But it really was. I was like, man, there's the gift that keeps on giving. I do want to also thank RC. I know you guys mentioned it last week on the podcast, and I appreciate the shout out, but really do appreciate the Bret Hart cameo. Like, I mean, I got almost a little teary-eyed the first time I saw it because I was just like, that was just really thoughtful. Anybody who knows me knows the Hitman's my favorite wrestler ever, and I can die a happy man. I mean, he called me the excellence of execution and the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. I mean, he did literally a promo. I think it was really cool. And I've heard some of those, suck, and it depends on who they are. Good to see Bret Hart, just like, greatest wrestler in my opinion of all time. He gives even for cameo, that kind of performance. And I do feel, but he did say Sam though on it too, right? Didn't he?
You
Or
said
did he
all of
just
our
say Ron?
names,
That's what I
yes.
thought. Okay. It was just really cool. So we're going to do a podcast tonight where we're just going to, actually, I'm going to cover a few things from the podcast Wednesday. Because if you have not listened to the podcast Wednesday, I really do highly recommend it. I love the guys' discussion on a variety of things from Apollo Crews, Big E, the Thunder Rose, Britt Baker. And there's a few things, again, I'm going to talk about. But then one other thing, too, we're going to do just a quick Fastlane recap where we'll go over, what happened at Fastlane. And then we just want to discuss WrestleMania because we are now, what is it, 2 weeks, right? Two Sunday, April 8th, or is it three? I think it's April 8th, right, or 10th or something like that. So if it's the 10th, that's
10th and
three.
11th, I believe.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks still, right? Or is it three? Maybe three, but
That's 2 weeks from now, yeah.
okay. So there we go. So we are getting close to Mania, which again, I just want to remind people there's gonna be some fans there. I don't know how many. It's gonna be at an arena. I am very excited for that and the card. So we're just gonna talk about that again. It won't be the last time. A few things from last week. The Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, completely agree with you. It was a great match. Sam, I love that you said that Baker had this like breakout moment Wednesday. And I don't think you should apologize either for saying that it reminded you of Becky Lynch's breakout moment because that was the last one that was that big, in my opinion, where you were just like, holy shit. Like, it is interesting because without the crowd, because I actually think Becky's real moment was at SummerSlam when she turned heel. And just anytime the fans rebel against, something that WWE, I mean, they went like they were cheering Hogan coming back in his heyday as Becky was just beating the shit out of Charlotte. And I thought it was great. But you could feel it. Like you could look at social media, you can hear what everybody said. It's a big moment for, and I think that I can now say that I was at least wrong in being upset they haven't put the title on her yet because it looks like they are kind of starting to ramp her up right as crowds come back. And that is so smart on their part because whether she be a face or a heel, let's be honest, like the rest of the main stars are not stars. They're good performers. And she's a star. And I just it's gonna be exciting to watch that. I also agree with both of you. It was the show of the week. I don't know if it was the best show AEW's ever done, Sam, but it was really good. You just have to remember some of the ones they had in the beginning. But the big thing I want to talk with you guys, because y'all didn't get too much into this, or at least y'all didn't say it this way. I will. New Day is the greatest tag team of all time. Like, and I think it's done. They've won the most titles, correct? Now are they tied?
I don't know, but I know
I would have to look that up.
You're going to be hard pressed to get me to say that anybody is better than the Road Warriors.
Well,
ditto.
Let me just say this. The other one that I would argue is the Rock and Roll Express, because the tag team wrestling, the way that we watch tag team wrestling now, is because of Rock and Roll Express. That's the match. That's the template. You have the guy who plays Robert Gibson, who gets the crap beaten out of him until he makes the hot tag, and you know the heels cut the ring in half. That's the story. That's what we do. So it's hard for me to say, you know, from an impact standpoint, but
that's not that you can't though then go from an impact. Yeah, I'm not saying from an impact. They're the greatest tag team of all time. Whether you want to talk about selling merchandise, whether you want to talk about being relevant, whether you want to talk about winning in a time that, I mean, they have carried the fucking tag team division and been the only thing other than the Usos interesting in WWE for going on like 8 years, since like back when Shield and Daniel Bryan and Kane were fucking tag team champs. And I just think at this point, if you look at what they've done and how they've kind of been able, like it's almost hard to remember in this era. Now, granted, back in the old days, this could happen where guys could just basically be the New Day. You know, they had the period where they were hated at first, right? Because they were heels. And then they were been so over from that moment that they turned them face and they couldn't even think about splitting them up. They couldn't think about, you know, turning them heel, because the money just keeps coming in. They are enjoying themselves. They put on entertaining storylines. They're so much better in the ring, and this is no disrespect to the Road Warriors or the Midnight Express. It's different wrestlings and styles, but they're so much better in the ring. The styles that they can have with Kofi and Big E, where I love it when you have that athletic and, you know, powerful, or if it's Apollo, you know, you have the spunky and the powerful and the spunky and the athletic. It's just, I am to the point where are there tag teams that maybe I like better? The Road Warriors would be one of them. I'm a Bret Hart guy. The Hart Foundation would be up there. But if you're just asking me, in my opinion, the greatest tag team ever, I think the New Day has earned that spot, because think about how title reigns have really gone away. I know they're trying to bring them back a little bit over the last few years, but these guys are just tag team champs for, you know, huge chunks out of years, year after year after year. It's just where I'm at.
I do like, not to be the turd in the punch bowl, but they have the longest tag team reign in history, because one of the members of Demolition sued the WWE for something related to concussions. And so Vince is a petty piece of shit. So Vince is like, they can't be the longest reigning
champs. They have, though, also in that time became the cumulative longest tag team champs in the history of WWE. And I think now they're in like the top six or seven longest, you know, days as champions of any title in WWE. I mean, you got like obviously like guys like Hogan and Backlund and stuff in front of them, but
what's his name? Bruno. Bruno was champion.
Bruno. Oh yeah, Bruno. Yeah. And I mean, but I think these guys are not mentioned in that class like already right now, which is outrageous. And I think that when you look back, you know, years from now, the 2010s are really going to be kind of the New Day's decade. It's going to be Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, the New Day. And I mean, I guess if you want to say Lesnar and, you know, Rollins, those are probably going to be the, you know, memorable guys, because Cena wasn't around very long. You know, I'm so happy that they've kept them together for so long and they're having their moments. It led to the Kofi deal last year. I mean, and they're getting up there. It's one of the greatest factions ever taken.
And you know what? And as I'm sitting here and you're listing all this off, I couldn't Google it enough. Maybe I am kind of a prisoner of my childhood, because I know that the Road Warriors, being my favorite tag team, won a championship in every major wrestling promotion. They won the Crockett Cup tournament. And for you young boys and girls, if you want to watch some great tag team wrestling, find the Crockett Cup tournament videos. Great stuff. You know, there was only 2-3 years of it back in the early mid 80s. But anyway, all those accolades aside, you can look at the totality of what the New Day has done, and you know, even their individual titles, and you know, we're all big fans of them, so we're definitely assuming there's going to be more singles titles in the future for one or two of them at the very least. So yeah, when it's all said and done, you probably could easily put them up there. It's just kind of hard for me to accept that right now because, you know, I'm a, like I said, monster LOD mark.
I'd also argue that other than maybe Edge and Christian, and I think they're better, the New Day are so good on the mic, and they're so underrated. I mean, it was just like when they won the belts again this last time, and Kofi was actually with them, but it was on SmackDown. You know, they're coming out there and going like, how many times have we been tag team champs? And just, I mean, they're just, they, I just think they don't get their due. And when you've been, you know, what, 11 time, right? I believe now tag team champs. And again, they've been tag champs, it feels like, for the last decade, whether it be the Raw or SmackDown, the quality of their matches, you know, their promo work, they're as good as you get. And I just think they've been such a, you know, vital part. Anything else you want to say on that, Sam, before we move on?
Yeah, it's actually, do you know who we didn't mention in that conversation and who usually gets mentioned is the Dudleys. Keep in mind, Dudley's won Dudley's won the WWE and ECW titles.
They won the WCW titles, I believe, too.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't in WWE. I mean,
right, no, yeah.
Same way that The Rock won the WCW.
Right, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it, the one knock that I would have against the New Day is that the same way that so much of Kareem's early career was in a at a time where there weren't a whole lot of people watching, is that the New Day, basically their competition was, which almost might make it more impressive, was that their competition was the Usos.
That's,
and that was really it.
But that's my point, is that think about how many good New Day matches there have been over the last decade. And like, if you would go back, you probably can't even name the teams they're fighting against. But if you started watching a pay-per-view and it got going and you're going, oh yeah, this was a banger, they have that ability, again, because I just think that Kofi, Xavier, and Big E are all really good wrestlers. Their styles match very well together, and I particularly love when it's Big E with either Kofi or Xavier. It's just, those are my favorite, you know, tag teams anyway, kind of the big
one. If I may add one more thing before we get away from the New Day, because if we're talking about the impact, you know, they're so big on the whole Twitch thing, and you know, it's no secret that they're big gamers and the up, up, down, down, and they're huge nerds. They've even allowed them the liberty to express their geekdom. I mean, the Scorpion in Sub-Zero outfits the last couple of weeks. The Brody Lee gear. Their new graphics as they come out now. The Mario effect that they had this past week. I mean, they get full range, and for a good reason.
One of the most memorable Mania entrances I can ever remember with the cereal box. That was one of the cooler things. That and what's his name with the tank are probably the best two Mania entrances in the last decade. But
it's funny. At first, I wasn't even behind Bootios until I realized that they were really selling it. And then I was like, oh, hell.
We have a box in our house right now. Nice. So let's move on to Fastlane, and I apologize for hijacking it, but there was a few things I just wanted to touch on, the biggest being just the New Day. I don't know. I missed that poll. I guess that was probably when I was laid up, and I was like, boy, I probably would have started some shit because I would have just said they're the greatest tag team ever. Fastlane happened Sunday. I think this is, what, like the fifth or sixth WWE pay-per-view in a row that's been, like, pretty good?
Yeah. I thought it was, I honestly gave it like a B plus.
Well, I mean, that's what, like, I actually really enjoyed it, but I'm just talking about, like, I find it hard for anybody to shit on, like, the last five or six WWE pay-per-views. They've been short, they've been concise, wrestling's been great. They've had at least one or two storylines that have advanced in each one of them, you know, to kind of make it worthwhile. The one thing I do want to start off, and I was disappointed before it even started, was just the, I hate the Bianca Sasha story they're telling. I think it's lazy. I didn't like the, you know, title match. We all knew that was coming. And I just, we talk about it enough, but it just feels like they're putting down the tag team champs. They could easily have not made them have quite that much dissension And as y'all say, I know both all the time, if the best tag team should be able to beat two great singles people that, you know, don't go together. I mean, Shayna and Nia have been together quite some time now, and they're both legit threats. Like, even just in what WWE told you, they're legit threats. And it just, it bothers me because you're putting, in my opinion, your tag champs down who could make the tag division really interesting and put like a, you know, Riot Squad or somebody over who, you know, eventually defeats them. And they're just kind of wasting them with stuff like that. But the Big E Apollo thing, are they, and we'll start with Rana, are they maybe wasting this great Apollo in an IC feud that we probably think he's not going to end up winning the belt? Would this have been better to be using against, you know, somebody just below that was not a mid-card guy? Because I am loving this version of Cruz. I thought they walked that tightrope actually pretty good at the pay-per-view of making him not look real weak. But overall, he keeps losing. And that's not good when you're trying to build a heel that has really not been a big player in WWE yet.
Upside to it, and especially with the way he lost, this is the second time in an Intercontinental title match with Big E that it was one of those close inside cradle who got the pin. Whereas, I mean, even though this one was a little bit tighter, there was at least that. So you're right in that they, you know, kind of kept him looking strong. In as much as I love Big E with the strap, we always talk huge about him. I think you're right. They might be just wasting this opportunity unless they're going to give Apollo.
Do you think they're going to take it off Big E? Let's put it that way. Because I don't.
What's that?
Do you think they're going to take it off Big E in this feud? Because I don't.
I'm holding out hope that they still can. I honestly think they crapped on Apollo when he had his short U.S. title run last year. Give him the Intercontinental Championship and at least a couple of, you know, really good defenses and, you know, build him up a little bit. I mean, he's shown that he's taken what you've given him and he's turned it to gold. I mean, he, you know, we had kind of poo-pooed about the whole thing with him in the Hurt Business and, you know, our funny inside joke about Vince's black on black crime. But, you know, he took that, he managed to actually beat Lashley, and I come to think about it, this is something I had wanted to think about, but I'm glad I'm saying it aloud. He was the last person to literally beat Lashley clean, if I'm not mistaken. And so I honestly think he's worked well enough that he should get at least a good 2 month, 3 month IC title reign. You know, I wouldn't be upset if they do it at Mania and he runs it to like SummerSlam.
What did you think about that Big E, Sam, at the beginning? Because I thought it was the best since his NXT 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stuff.
So I thought that, and I'm going to get into what you asked Ronell as well. The thing that I loved about this match was that they had set up that this was that these guys were pissed at each other and that they were going to get in there and throw hands. And it was the criticism that I had of the Young Bucks. I have that a lot, but that I had of the Young Bucks Inner Circle match. It's by no means limited to that one, where you have these guys who are supposedly in this blood feud who then go in and start doing wrestling moves. And like they went in and Big E just like, you know, was talking
that taunting.
Yeah.
It's great.
And, that was a visceral, like they went in there and they were throwing bombs at each other. I will say I am almost certain that Apollo wins the title at Mania. I think that they will at the very least for like, even if he loses it back the next month, that they're going to have him beat. And it's one of the things that really annoys me about the WWE is that they do this themselves where they didn't want Apollo to lose cleanly and look bad, but they also didn't want Big E to lose and they wanted to get to Mania. And it just felt like,
why book yourself in this spot? It's one of my biggest problems with WWE. I agree.
Exactly. That is that they do these booking things. And I'm just,
you got two guys and the two right stories going, don't put them against each other. Like they both need to be succeeding somewhere else on the card. And then about the, so you do think that it was, you know, they're kind of wasting Apollo right now.
No, I think that it's...
Well, let's put it this way then. If he does not eventually win the belt in this feud, are they kind of wasting Apollo's rise here?
Yeah. I think is going to happen is that if he loses at WrestleMania, what you're going to have is that it's what I get into is that you can tell the crowd that somebody is as important as possible. You know, it's why I think Dolph Ziggler is such a joke, is that this is a guy who always talks about how he steals the show. It's like, well, you always lose. And in this... This is, you know, whatever you want to say about pro wrestling, you know, in kayfabe, it is not about, like, who cares? Like, MMA fighters don't want to go out there and have the most entertaining fight. They don't want to steal the show. They want to win and have a flashy, quick knockout or a choke, you know. And so that's
unless what you're Kevin Brunson and then you talk to your opponent while he kicks your butt.
I mean, touche. But in this scenario, you know, that there should be some kayfabe, which is that, you know, if Apollo is going to come out and talk about how he's, you know, this, that, you know, and the other, he should win. And if he doesn't win, then what you're saying to the audience is that basically you've created Malibu Stacy wearing a new hat. And the only difference is like it's Apollo with a spear. It's like, okay, but he's still the same guy who loses all the time. Why should I care? And if you're not going to get me invested, why should I care?
I completely agree. We're not going to talk about the Strowman-Elias match.
Thank you.
I do want to just have a second to make fun of, because I know we like to make fun of stuff. The actual choo-choo sounds that they now make when Strowman goes around for his shoulder block is maybe both the greatest and lamest thing I've ever seen in my life. Have you seen it, Sam? He'll do this.
No.
Then the horns go choo-choo-choo-choo, and then and yeah. Like, they did it on Raw, and did they do it on the pay-per-view, or was it just Raw? Ronnell.
They're going to have to – that there's some things that they have benefited from not having a crowd. I think that they've been allowed to cut different kind of promos because they don't have to worry about a crowd response. But that childish-ass bullshit is not going to be one of them.
I don't remember if they did it at the pay-per-view, but I definitely heard it on Monday.
Thank God Seth Rollins is back. You know, I'm a guy who is big on Rollins. He was the guy that most of 2020, I said he was the wrestler of the year. Bayley really, in my opinion, won that, before all was said and done, but I thought Rollins had an incredible year. I thought his match with Nakamura was really good. Little surprised he went over. I thought maybe that with him just coming back and they've been kind of building Shinsuke up, and it looks like we're going to have Rollins Cesaro at, you know, Mania, unless they end up changing, you know, maybe it into a tag and they involve Nakamura. I just don't know who they would pair with Rollins. But it just, I thought it was a great match. And I saw some people said that they were, you know, frustrated or disappointed. I thought it was really good. And I mean, I could watch those two guys wrestle just about anybody. And, you know, we've seen some guys don't mesh well with, you know, Nakamura, and Rollins obviously does.
No, I agree with you. That was a really fantastic match. I was a bit concerned when I watched it because I thought the same thing. It was like, you know, Shin was kind of starting to, after his face turn, kind of be on the rise. But I don't think that Seth needed to take another loss.
Oh, no, I don't think it was the wrong decision. I just was a little surprised. Yeah, but, I mean, I agree with you. Seth is one of the biggest stars. He's got to keep W's.
And I just thought that on both accounts, it could be one, you know, they have to get Seth on a positive build to go towards Mania. But two, like, Seth could have easily eaten that and been back into a title picture in 3 months and, you know, no sweat.
Which is actually kind of one of my criticisms of wrestling in general, is that you either have a guy who should be main event or you should have a guy be mid card. And when you cycle them in and out, it does nobody any good. I think that this is where the pay-per-view turned around for me. And I think one of the things where we've talked about the importance of the main event is that as the main event has improved, then the rest of the show doesn't necessarily have to be great. That's the most important thing, is the main event. I thought that this is really where the show started to turn around. I really liked the match. I like Nakamura. I think that I was such a big fan of his in New Japan, and his match with Sami Zayn that I'm always going to be kind of let down by him, unfortunately. Just because
that's one of the best matches. Like, I'm not even a huge NXT or either one of those guys, and that's one of the best matches of the last decade. I'll admit that. So it's hard to, like, anybody live up to that kind of fucking expectation.
So do you remember his feud, like the dick punching feud with AJ Styles?
That was his Mania feud. That was the feud to Mania.
And they kept having 2/3 of a great New Japan match. Which is not the kind of thing you want to have. Like, and let me rephrase that. You don't want to have the first 2/3 of a great New Japan match, because the first 2/3 are for where you have that last third that's just a dead sprint,
yep,
where your heart explodes from excitement. And they never had that. That was always the really disappointing thing to me. And, like, it's not a knock on Nakamura, because it's more of a knock on the WWE, where you have a guy who I think is, and I just imagine RC, you know, shaking his head, but Nakamura is a guy who is very singular in his kind of weird charisma, and I just don't think the WWE
got over without saying a word. That's impressive. I don't give a damn who you are.
He's just barely starting to talk now,
and he's just like very.
They can always go back to the entrance, right? Which, I mean, you know, that was one of the biggest mistakes in my opinion. His thing was just, I know they wanted people not to get excited. He could have still been a heel and still had that unbelievable entrance, you know, where the crowd just would go nuts. The McIntyre-Sheamus match, I feel so bad for Sheamus. Like, Sheamus is now, like, it was, you know, for a while you felt bad for Bobby Lashley and then The Miz, and now it's Sheamus, because I think it's a great storyline we're heading to. And, you know, I am very excited about McIntyre-Lashley. But if you look at it, it's like The Miz finally got that title reign a decade after, only to lose the belt immediately to Lashley. And Sheamus has now put on 3 of the best matches I've seen between 2 big guys, and I don't know how long, with McIntyre in the last like 3 weeks. And they should have all, or at least a few, been for the world title. They've not been. And I know we talked about this before last week's podcast, but I hate to tell it again to the people that are all excited about Lashley, but this is a drumbeat, steady as can be, until McIntyre winning back his title at Mania. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, like, don't get your hopes up. Don't get mad on Mania night. And it makes sense for what they've done. Lashley will probably get it back sometime soon, or something will happen, but it's just, it's leading to that. But, Sam, like, I was not the only one that just absolutely loved this match, right?
No, I thought it was great. I think that actually, and again, this is, I just, like, I'm going to try to see if I can make RC's head explode. I would love to see Sheamus go to NXT. I think that he and, you know, if they want to do some faction.
And then Walter.
Yeah. I mean, that's Sheamus works the best when he wrestles these really stiff matches. And I've talked about, you know, there's the intangible, the fact.
Would he be good in New Japan because of that?
Oh, man. He would be so. Sheamus is one of the few guys where, like, he reminds me of, like, a lot of the guys from America who had success in New Japan in, like, the 80s and the 90s, like Stan Hansen, who would just go over there and, like, beat the shit out of the fans.
I mean, Lesnar had a short, successful run over there, right?
Who?
Lesnar.
Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, he won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. But the, yeah, Sheamus would be, I mean, especially in the old style, the old strong style. But yeah, Sheamus is a guy who is settled into, like, kind of sucks because I don't think he'll ever be a guy that they give the opportunity to really run with. But he's very quietly, like, I'm trying to think of a legitimate sport that I would, athlete that I would compare him to, where it's just like maybe Tony Parker or Manny Ginobili, where he's just like not a superstar, but he is reliably always great.
I like that analogy.
Ray Allen.
Yeah.
One other thing with this, Ronel, I loved the way they had McIntyre come to Sheamus's defense on Monday. I loved the way that Lashley you know, wanted that victory clean, and he was pissed at his boys for making him look weak or that he needed it, and they're making that the storyline. I love what McIntyre said about, you know, basically calling him out for that and saying, you know, I'll fight these two guys, but only if it's a fair match at Mania. And why he, you know, came out and helped Sheamus. And it's like, yeah, we've been friends for 20 years. We had a throw. I mean, just everything about it I thought was fantastic. And maybe they are headed to something really interesting, and this could end up stealing the show at Mania, which I know people are going, come on, Keith. But I am very excited about McIntyre, Lashley, and Monday night gives me even more confidence that they have a plan of what they're doing with it.
I hope you're right, because the only downside, like I was saying on the previous podcast, is to me is looking like it's starting to be the end of the Hurt Business, which was, for me, arguably one of the best parts of Raw. But other than that, you're absolutely right. Like, it hit all the spots. I'm more excited about this Lashley McIntyre match than I had initially expected to be. They just really did a great job with the layering on this story.
And I wouldn't necessarily think this is the end of the Hurt Business, because they could very easily have Lashley and MVP obviously throw off the other guys, Lashley get rid of MVP, and then MVP basically then take an Apollo or somebody else and, you know, just basically restart it with a new centerpiece.
That's true.
And it could end up building somebody else, hopefully. The Orton Bliss thing, I enjoyed it. I don't get the people that are saying, oh, it's so campy. It's like, did y'all watch the Undertaker stuff growing up? And I loved it. But it's like, it's campy. That's what it is. But if it's a good story, and I'm proud of WWE for actually waiting 3 months. It's been 3 months since The Fiend was burned. That's hard to believe, but 3 months. So they waited to bring him back. I love where this is leading, and I'll let you also talk about this, but I just want to go ahead and throw this out there too. If you don't want to hear any spoilers, there's two I'm going to give, one here and another one in a second. So fast forward like 30 seconds, or I guess probably a few minutes, but supposedly, if you notice, The Fiend looks a little smaller, a little skinnier. There is rumors that Bray is actually not supposed to come back to WrestleMania. That is the day he's supposed to be back from his leave. And it is his brother, Bo, who is actually this version of The Fiend. They are messing with Randy Orton. And basically at Mania, you're going to have Orton in the ring with The Fiend, and then the real Fiend's going to show up and just beat the ever-living crap out, which I think would just be amazing. And they're going to literally start a Fiend where Bo is going to be with Bray enjoying the yowie wowie whole freaking world thing. So, A, what do you think about that, Sam? And B, what did you think about this?
The
match at Fastlane.
I want him to, like, somehow, like, you got to believe in The Fiend. You know, that I've always – Bo Dallas is a hilarious – like, I don't know if you've ever seen his NXT stuff.
Oh, I was really disappointed. It was kind of right when I think I just started really getting into wrestling again. I thought he was great when they called him up, and they just didn't give him enough of a chance. And then he was great with what was the tag team?
Curtis,
it was
Axel.
Him and Axel, yeah. And it just, B-team. For whatever reason, they never believed in him. But you're right, his NXT was great.
He was a great mid-card guy. My complaint about this is besides my general contempt for Randy Orton, which, like, I fully admit is just, like, completely irrational on my part at this point. And
we've been doing this podcast for well over a year. We know you don't like Randy Orton. Next point.
But the, you know, not just, you and I talked a little bit about this, but the 2017, where he had some of the worst, you know, it's not just his fault, but that WrestleMania match that he had where they, with Bray, with the semen, with the sperm on the
worms.
Yeah. Like and then they had that, like, Matt Hardy had done the whatever it was, the broken. Okay. Yeah. The broken brilliance. The WWE tried to do it, and they had that awful match at the, I think it was at the, whatever, the Firefly, whatever it was. And then they did, and then he feuded with, then Orton feuded with Jinder Mahal. It's just awful. And so my hope here is that Randy Orton loses pretty, you know, because, you know, The Fiend needs that And I love the idea of Bo as the Fiend. And also, I kind of love the idea of him like slowly annoying Bray Wyatt. And like, I kind of love the idea of him then, like, you know, because he used to be the very bright, cheery guy. And then he's sort of like the dark, creepy one in when he's not the the Bo version of the Fiend, when he's, you know, Bo Dallas in the Firefly Funhouse, that he sort of like dour. I just, it could, it, there's a lot of ways it could go, and it's very entertaining.
Cinematic match, though, you think, right?
I hope so.
Okay. Rhino?
No, I was just thinking as you were going through it, it's like, ooh, we're getting a revisit of the original Undertaker in Kane on the weekend that Kane gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Except they're like starting as, you know, brothers and friends instead of the other way around. And this may not be true. This could be a rumor, and it might just be it is somebody different. And Bray Wyatt is going to show up at Mania looking like that because, I mean, literally he's off and they can get away with it right now. You know, you can't technically know if it's him or not. But I think they seem like they've let Bray kind of drive the story more and more. Of course, you would know he'd want to get his brother involved if he can. The other big match, obviously, Reigns, Bryan. Again, I told you guys before the match when we were previewing it, I could watch these two guys wrestle forever to the end of time. I love that we're now going to get the Edge, Bryan's, Reigns main event. I think it's even better than a Reigns, Bryan. This is the second spoiler, though, that I do want to warn. As I have heard from several different places that the only reason Bryan is being brought in is actually so Edge can take the belt off of Reigns without, obviously, Reigns taking the actual L. I hope that's not true. I actually hope it's Daniel Bryan who gets the W. I hope then Edge fucking snaps after the match, turns heel, and, you know, maybe distract Reigns with Rollins or something, and then let, you know, Bryan and Edge fight for the belt, and eventually you want to put it on them, you can. Not to book, I'm sorry, RC, but I hope that's not the way they go, because that's like the least fun, in my opinion, scenario out of this triple threat is, oh, Edge wins by pinning Bryan while Reigns is not involved. Like, okay, that pretty much would make sense why you would book that, and that's no fun. But what did you think, Sam, about the, you know, having Reigns tap out after all the talk, you know, all the Bryan during the match kind of mocking him that I'm going to tap you out and stuff. And then, of course, for the ref not to see it and him not get credit for that just to be there. I thought that was really well booked.
So both of these guys, Roman is definitely at operating on a level that we've not seen before. Daniel Bryan is operating on the level that Daniel Bryan operates on. I don't think I have to elaborate on my feelings about Daniel Bryan.
It's like, you're right. Whatever you hate about Orton or whatever you think about Orton, just go to the opposite spectrum. There's your Daniel Bryan. Next.
genius of Daniel Bryan, of the genius of Bryan Danielson as a pro wrestling genius, because that's what he is the same thing that the match that he had at Survivor Series, I think it was 2018, with Brock Lesnar. You knew he was going to lose. There's no way that Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar was losing to Daniel Bryan. But he still said, maybe.
However.
Maybe. And that he instilled, and maybe it was just me, maybe RC's going
to
make fun of me.
Doesn't he have the ability too, that like, I think of like the Cena and others, that like, even the matches he wins, it's the same deal, where it's like, up until the very end, you could see it going either way. And then it makes you that much more excited when he wins. And I believe that's why, as you're saying, in some of these losses, it hurts if you're rooting for him.
But I actually would say more than Cena, that's what they wanted with Cena, was that the idea that, because it always felt like it was sort of the Hulk
Hogan. Mania 30 felt that way, though, too. Like, I never felt comfortable about him winning that match until he was, you know, hosting the belts in the middle of the ring.
Oh, I was pretty, that was a very good night for me. I think that I am fine. So, and this will be sort of where I redeem myself in RC's eyes. I am fine with Daniel Bryan being the guy to eat the pin to Edge. The one question that I have about it is, that's a real heel move.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that they're turning him heel either way.
But
I think that would, to me, correct me, saying that they seem like they have figured out like two things, obviously, and recorrected. People are not jacked about an Edge, you know, versus Reigns Mania main event the way they thought. So they're bringing in Daniel Bryan. They want to put the belt on Edge, and they're realizing, you know, when we've tried this before, like with Reigns, you know, what they do? They brought in Rollins kind of at the last minute to kind of, you know, have the surprise. Well, the only other way you can get this win over and people to kind of be cool with it is if he turns heel. And it would be cool. He's a rated R superstar. He's one of the greatest heels ever.
But, well, it's funny that, though, that, like, it's kind of how Danny Bryan won the title the last time, was that they wanted to put the title on, I think it was Batista they wanted to win at WrestleMania. And they wanted him to be they wanted him to wrestle Orton. They wanted that to be the main event, and the people wanted it to be Daniel Bryan. And they were, and then CM Punk quit, and they were sort of like, well, you know, let's go with this. So maybe Daniel Bryan, maybe it's Daniel Bryan who beats Edge, and then you have more range. You know, I don't know. I just know that I'm fine with whatever happens. I will probably be pissed if it's Edge, but that's the right response.
Rono is, I think Reigns is so tailor-made. Like for, I just think this is going to be such a great match, because the one thing you'd have a concern about Edge right now would be obviously his age and going. If they truly shot that match with Orton live, he still can really go. I mean, he went 50-something minutes in the Rumble and had like an hour-long match. So I shouldn't even say that. Daniel Bryan, obviously, we talked about, is great. And then Reigns at this level, especially with just – he looks so big around everybody. Like, I don't know if he's actually put on weight or if it's just, you know, or muscle, I should say. It's taken off the vest or whatever, but he just looks so much bigger now than the guys he's in the ring. I just could see these three guys at Mania in front of a crowd, you know, first live show in front, like really just tearing the house down. Because you have, I mean, think about the other main events like Triple H, Benoit, and Michaels. Better competitors all the way around, like in the ring, than those three guys. Triple H, what was it, Michaels, and what was the last one? There was another one here recently. Or excuse me, Batista, Orton, and Daniel Bryan. Same deal. I'm so excited about this. What do you think, Rono?
Oh yeah, goodness. You know, you guys were more excited than I, talking about the prospect of face Bryan, heel Reigns, you know, months ago, and it more than delivered. Like, I was just floored at how well this match played out. And furthermore, the story, I think inserting him is absolutely the right move, just to move the needle, because like you said, I'm not that excited about Edge Reigns straight up. There's nothing about it that really says this is going to be V1.
I was worried we were 1 week away from, you know, in the spear versus spear battle to end them all at Mania. And, you know, that basically being the way they booked it. And that's when you're like, boy, yikes. Like for Mania, that's what we're doing, is they both do the spear.
And it's the night 2 main event. That's the bid.
I mean, it's the main event. Like, no offense to Bianca and Sasha, which, I mean, I actually think, well, I don't know, it's hard to
that
think.
That should be on night 2.
I mean, Reigns has got to be the main event. I'm sorry. Like, and especially Bryan absolutely. And Edge, like, they got to be night 1. I don't know what to do if it's the real card, but the thing I want to ask you, Rono, is does it feel like WWE and even AEW to a certain extent, without crowd, like right before we're getting ready to it, they sure do seem to be riding that middle road so much more with characters than they used to. We saw Big E just openly taunting a man as he beat the crap out of him. Not a typical face thing to do. We saw Daniel Bryan teasing, taunting, you know, being cocky, which I don't know if I've ever seen Bryan be like that arrogant at any point in his career. Again, not a face thing. Are we, you know, maybe as WWE kind of figured out, let's just kind of let characters be good. And then from there, we'll see what the fans' reaction is when they get back.
Yeah, I mean, because it surely seemed, and here's one more, even Braun Strowman, even though he's kind of relegated to the, you know, the bottom of the bucket, you know, Shane McMahon, he's a face question mark right now because of the way that Shane McMahon is, you know, treating him. So he had come back fully heel. Like, no, I'm going to Brody my way into a title opportunity. And Shane put the halt on that. And all of a sudden, he's a face behind it.
He's another guy that, and I know that's not what we're talking about, but just Strowman was so unbelievable when they just made him an ass kicker. And when they first brought him back, I thought they were getting back to that. And it's like, you don't even have to have him in the title all the time, but this is who he needs to be. He just needs to beat people up constantly. And then, you know, we've already got back where to, you know, it's just, it's crazy. But Sam, anything else you want to say on that? And then we're going to kind of just go over the Mania card.
No, it was just more that I thought that it was less the WWE like allowing for Shades of Grey and more that they were doing it to heels. You know, was that Big E had talked about this and for Daniel Bryan, you know, his mind games. I didn't see him as arrogant. I just saw him as like, I don't know. I saw
it. Maybe arrogant was wrong. Confident, whatever you, I mean, he was mocking Roman Reigns, who right now, no matter what you say, is like probably the most intimidating guy in WWE, talking about, I'm going to tap you out, like during the match. I thought it was great ring psychology. And what's great is what we've talked about is Reigns has just continued to get angrier and angrier, you know, with people disrespecting him. So, of course, that would be something that would just drive him nuts for a guy, you know, twice as small as him, who obviously, you know, in this world right now, he thinks he's better than Brian. It just, I thought it was really well done. And they just seemed to be kind of, you know, not making quite as bold of strokes, which I, you know, it's going to be interesting again to see the crowd reaction for all of these guys. Nobody really knows who's over right now. Like, who's the hottest people in the company? Who's the heel that everybody loved? Who's the face that everybody's over? Like, we have ideas, but you don't know. One thing real quickly too, I saw on the group, and I don't like calling out people, so I'm not going to do his name, but I saw somebody or some comments about Mania card and, you know, everything and it being kind of predictable and this and that. And it's kind of, it's not predictable. We talked about this on the podcast and you listen to the podcast. We didn't know about the main events until like 4 or 5 weeks ago, like any of them. Normally, you know about them in like October, November. So it's not predictable. Mania is always actually really predictable. It was a little unpredictable coming in this year. And the second thing is they're not going to go all out. We know that. Like, yes, it's the first live show again. Yes, it's going to have some crowd in front. But I'm sorry. It was just like last year's Mania. It makes sense from a business standpoint for Vince and them to go, we're going to not, you know, we're going to hold some stuff back. We're not going to bring in any, you know, big names other than Bad Bunny. We're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna put on, you know, a Brian Reigns, you know, main event, which is something if Brian does end up sticking around, I could still see that being a main event at a Mania one-on-one at some point in the near future. I just think that I'm excited again about this card. We talked about, you know, most of this, but let's just go over what we have. Where did you get this from, Sam?
The picture that I sent you was from Wikipedia.
Okay. So they have right now, and we've talked about all his matches. So Strowman McMahon, we don't have to go over again. That is not confirmed, but that's going to be on there. The other match that we have not mentioned at all, do you feel kind of bad for AJ Styles that him and Omos versus the New Day looks like that's going to be the tag team match? Or are you like me? I'm like super excited because Omos is such a big dude. Like, we haven't seen a guy that size in wrestling in quite some time. I think he could be great. It could be quite a moment seeing his first match. He's going to be with AJ Styles. So, you know, he's been on the road with him at least working with him for all this time. So I'm sure he's learned a lot. And again, the New Day put on great matches. I'm actually really excited about that. What do you guys think about AJ? A lot of people think being delegated to a tag team title match with the New Day.
So this is confirmed. It's just not the night.
Day. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'm fine with it. Honestly. I think that it's better than being left off. It's better than being thrown into the, all in the pool, Andre the Giant battle royal. He doesn't fit into either the mid card title pictures. So yeah, throw him in with the tag team title.
Yeah. I'm not that. I'm pretty okay with this.
Scale 1 to 10 on Omos, Ronnell. How excited are you to see him?
I'm about a 7.5, just because of his size. I want to see
how big is he? Does anybody know his like actual measurements or?
I don't, but if I were to guess, it's gotta be we're 7 feet, at right? least. No, I'm thinking probably like 6'8", 6'9". No, that's, wait a minute. No. I forgot.
He's Drew gotta be 7 feet.
Like, yeah, right? No, it's gotta be closer angles? To 7 because Drew is like 6'7", 6'8". So
he's billed as 7'3" and 335.
So he's gotta be 7 feet.
So 7, yeah.
At least. That's a big dude, man. Like, I'm really excited. I mean, and you know,
kind of hoping he's like fleet of foot too.
Well, he played basketball.
He's got a lot better.
Oh, he played ball. Like, oh, know, yeah. So he's probably got good
assault team. So I mean, that's, you know,
he's probably got good footwork then if he was a ball player.
Yeah,
well, 7'3" though. Honestly, I mean, that's like so tall that it's like if you're just somewhat athletic, they'll find a spot for you in basketball.
True. Look at George Marison.
Exactly.
Look at the great Khali.
Yeah. Look at great Khali.
The Hall of Famer, awesome. Great Khali.
Here's why I don't mind the great Khali being a Hall of Famer, just as an aside, because I've seen people.
Didn't he win a world title too?
He did.
Yeah. So I mean, I get it.
I mean, yeah, like Drew Carey's in the Hall of Fame. Donald Trump's in the Hall of Fame.
Isn't that technically though the celebrity wing? Isn't that true, technically but different? So is
Coco Beware. Coco
celebrity Beware. Celebrity wing of what physical building?
Yeah.
That's a different conversation though. I'm sorry.
Touche.
But Coco Beware is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Like, I'm fine with Great Khali.
The Fiend versus Orton match we covered in detail. We just talked about Reigns, Edge, and Bryan. Asuka versus Rhea. Another one that I'm excited about it. Like, I really am. I don't understand, like, the way that match was made. You do everything, and again, not to book, but just, does that not make so much more sense for to do exactly what you did, and the second Asuka turns around to point the sign, Rhea just beats the shit out of her. Like, why are you going to have this sort of, yeah, just respect and blah, 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 and you're not ready for Asuka. Like, let's get a storyline. These two people have not been around each other. It would have made so much sense if you wanted Asuka to attack Rhea, either other. But just, it's such an easy story that one on points the sign, the other one beats the crap out of them rather than just what they're doing. That's my only problem with it. Are they really going to, Ronel, screw out Asuka again on Mania? Because I have a hard, either you're either taking Rhea back-to-back, like marquee women's match, losses, or are you giving Asuka another Mania loss?
No, I think my girl's in for it, unfortunately. They're going to give Rhea Ripley the Paige treatment. I'm not averse to it just because I'm a huge fan of Rhea Ripley's. I just hope they
would do it. Would you be okay then if they did the AJ thing where Asuka wins on Mania and then the next night you know, she obviously loses the title.
Even better, because at least Asuka gets her Mania moment.
Sam, what do you think?
I think that this was not the plan. I think that Charlotte got COVID.
COVID, and yeah.
They had to call an audible. I'm actually sort of not clear that Asuka will lose because of that. I think one thing that I think we've left out is I think the Mania card was allowed to be pushed because Vince was very hopeful, and I've read that he wants to have 45,000 people in the stadium.
So, which is about half capacity.
A little more than that. I think it holds like 70,000.
Yeah, I think that, well, for Mania, I think they were going to have like 80 or 90 is what they're, I know it was like right at 80,000. Because, you know, it's like one of those deals where like capacity 72,000, and then for a Mania under normal circumstances, they'll put like just another 10,000 seats somewhere. The chairs on the
and they might be.
I mean, seriously, we're in Georgia, literally starting tomorrow, anybody can just sign up for the vaccine. So I mean, you're getting to the point where, you know, if you obviously were to take a vaccine early, you also set people, you know, apart. I think they could do probably 20,000-30,000 easy. I do have some concern about halfway full.
Super Bowl did 25,000. I think that this actually low-key has the chance to be the best match of WrestleMania.
Are their styles really going to match, though? That's one thing I worry about.
Listen, she's been fighting Io Shirai for the last few months.
I think Io's better than Tonska.
Yeah, I mean, but even
sorry,
so.
Sorry, I do. Like, nope, yeah, I'm looking at the last year, Io, I just think she's better. Like, her matches in the ring are better on a consistent base. I love Asuka. It's not a knock on either one of them.
Can I just say this, that I am profoundly disappointed that we are having a WrestleMania at a place of the pirate ship and there's no Kairi Sane.
How cool would that have been?
Just disappointing.
And then there's two other matches I want to talk about. Lashley, McIntyre, we've talked about. Bad Bunny versus The Miz. It says with Damian Priest and Morrison. Are they eventually going to add them, or do you think this really is going to be a singles match the day of the event?
It's hard because, you know, I don't care how much you do train. I find it hard for anyone to just come out of nowhere, get a couple of months training, and be able to pull off a singles match on the grandest stage of them all.
And we love The Miz. He's great. But, like, I mean, I think the only guys that could potentially, you know, basically get a match, like the Omegas, the AJ Styles, the Daniel Bryans of the world, you know, they could maybe get a good match out of people. But I actually don't have a problem with it either way. They just need to make it very choreographed and, you know, hope that Bad Bunny does better than he did where he slipped last time. I'm amazed how big of a star this guy. I apologize. Like, I really do. It shows I'm getting old. For those that don't know, I turned 40 in the last month. I had no idea. Like, I was mocking WWE left and right. I mean, this guy's like basically the biggest music star in the world right now. So you can't really say anything. I mean, why would you not? I mean, it would literally be like, I don't know, MC Hammer in like the late 80s.
I was going to say, is he like Ricky Martin, La Vida Loca level?
Oh, he's bigger than that. Like, dude, he's like the biggest Spanish recording star in the world right now. And then he sells a crap ton of stuff in the U. I mean, like, this dude is like, I think, like third or fourth on Spotify. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
I think that the likelihood of what will happen is they will have a match. There will be some kind of screwy finish where Miz wins. We're not going to have it like that. They restarted as a tag match. Away we go. That's my prediction.
I honestly just think, for some reason, and maybe it's just me marking out for Damian Priest, but I think he deserved to be on the card and in the ring.
And by the way, I also, like, we love The Miz. I want to take it two things to point out. One, if you're going to do a celebrity appearance and involvement, this is how you do it. Mid-card, really kind of inoffensive. I'm fine with it. The other thing is, I think it speaks to how much of a company guy and just like why The Miz deserves some regard is that a lot of guys would not, you know, be willing to sell for Bad Bunny. A lot of people would be putting on a boo-boo face. And God love Mike Mizanin.
The Miz is a celebrity. He knows what being a celebrity means. He learned it in the real world. Miz has got two world titles, you know, a career out of this, but it's, I mean, Bobby Lashley nailed it. The dude's got his damn own show, you know, reality show. He's got a game show. He's got a hot ass wife. He's got two beautiful kids. Miz is winning.
He's, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
He is winning at life. He knows it. And that's why he's not afraid to do it. But to your point, it's just like with the Taker, you know, Vince type relationship, there's these guys that just realize, like, I am what I am, and I'll do whatever you can for it. And if you have that, like, Vince apparently is very close with The Miz. You know, he has a lot of input on stuff. And again, it just, you know, some of these guys really get wrestling. And I think Miz is definitely one of those guys.
Well, you know, and it's one of those things where we talk about, you know, everyone loves the Ric Flairs, the Daniel Bryans, these guys, Shawn Michaels, these guys who are just incredibly gifted pro wrestlers. And there is something to me very admirable and just very endearing about somebody like The Miz, who this didn't come easy to, and who was like, okay, I'm going to be a success because I'm going to work my ass off. And the great thing about pro wrestling, my favorite thing about pro wrestling, is when you have guys like The Miz, guys like Mark Henry, guys who might not have had a whole lot of regard or respect from so-called smart fans, who go, okay, and really, you know, commit themselves and get to, you know, level up in a way that it's just great to watch people come to that next level. And I just have a lot of admiration for Mike Mizanin.
Right now, one more thing, because we do need to get out of here. I've let it go too long, but or actually, let's do two things. There's two actually things I want to talk about. Just real quickly, do you ever remember a time that the biggest guys in wrestling for WWE were arguably some of the best workers? Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Big E. Like, do you ever remember a time when, like, the big guys seemed to be, like, this good in the ring?
At once, no. No, I mean, I can go back to... that's even pushing it. I mean, no, because, you know, you're still only talking two guys. That, like, I was thinking of a young Sid Vicious and Undertaker when he was going by Mean Mark in WCW. But that was only two guys, and, you know, Mean Mark was still really cutting his teeth. This was, like, right before Sid was really established. So, no, there isn't a time where, like, the bigger guys are really showing their full worth, and the athleticism is off the charts.
Sam, I think McIntyre is like a top five, top 10 guy in WWE match in and match out now at this point, which is really amazing for a guy like that size. And he's done it as a face and a heel.
Do you, so when you say big guys, you mean like Hoss? Well,
I mean, they're the Hosses now. I mean, I know you got like, obviously, like I'm missing, obviously, you know, the Fiend, I'm missing Strowman. Like there's some guys, I mean, these are basically the biggest dudes in, you know, wrestling right now in the current WWE, because everything's gotten so much smaller.
Oh, I just meant more because I was just trying to make sure that you didn't mean like main event guys.
No, okay. I'm saying like the biggest dudes, like the Hosses, you know, basically like your strong man.
The Hosses are running the show.
Yeah. Like, because normally, you know, it's always been the smaller guys, not always, but I'm saying most times the smaller guys are always
there. The stereotype was that small guys had to work big guys. And I think some of it is the expectations have changed, is that.
No, that's true. That's
a good people, point. Oh God, I can't believe I'm going to say something nice about Hulk Hogan. Oh, I'm going to feel dirty about this. Everyone who criticized Hulk Hogan for not being the worker that Ric Flair was in the 80s was because Hulk Hogan had to do to sell out an arena was do this, put his hand to his ear, big boot, leg drop. He didn't have to work and do.
But 60. He had good matches at that time. You know, like right before then and in New Japan.
Oh, yeah, he just of stuff in New Japan. He can beat. I don't know why you would, because the guy sucks.
racist motherfucker.
Yeah. But he's getting inducted again into the Hall of Fame. Like Vince, I love somebody the way that Vince loves rehabilitating people who are not sorry for being a racist.
All right. We got anything.
The point that I'm making is I got off of my Hulk Hogan's a horrible human being tangent. Is that there's an expectation that guys, you can't just, that if you're a big guy, that people don't just want to come and see a big guy. And that's what it used to be, was that a lot of what they did was more about exaggerating the idea of strength and all of, you know, I'm so big that I can't even move fast. And now these guys are expected to do that. And I think that more the better for it. But you look at a guy like Apollo Crews, I think that's, and I'll get off this before I start rambling. One reason why I think Ahmed Johnson doesn't get some of the credit he deserves is that he was a guy who was like 300 pounds doing scissor kicks and that kind of stuff in 95 when guys that size weren't doing it. And I think he was ahead of his time in that regard. Booker T to an extent as well, where he was doing the Harlem Hangover, and Booker T is a big dude.
Oh yeah.
But I think that you can't get away with just doing the kind of, I don't want to say plotting, doing the more methodical matches that big guys used to do.
So the one other match, and we did talk about it, but I hate to, you know, tell you guys something that we got to think about going into this match. Sasha's versus Bianca. Sasha Banks has never won at WrestleMania. She's 0-5. Do you really have her again lose the title at Mania when she doesn't have a win at this point? Because, I mean, it's like what they said. You have to acknowledge it if it gets to 6. That's kind of when they first started mentioning the Taker streak. I mean, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, she's never won a match. And again, most of them have been either title matches or, you know, I'm not, you know, there's been situations, but whew.
Man, that's tough. It's hard because I still think that it's Bianca's time, and hopefully, I mean, there's still time in Sasha's career for her to be able to redeem that. I mean, at least with this title reign that she's had, it's been an actual title reign. She's had some good defenses. She, you know, got past her ex-nemesis, Bayley. You know, she got to hold on to it for quite some time while looking strong.
Does this not prove the, you know, stereotype that, you know, Vince still doesn't treat African-American, you know, champions the same. Sasha is arguably definitely one of the top three female stars in the last decade. And she, up until this year, had never held the title long enough to defend it once. And she has not won at Mania. And it's like...
Never had a second title
defense. Second title defense, yeah. And, you know, she's never won at Mania. And it's like... Is it just a coincidence again? Like, you know what I mean? And I know you could argue that, well, it's, you know, Bianca, it's another, you know, woman of color, but it's, to me, it's still, it's kind of like, yikes. Like, you know, when you start looking at it that way, it's like, and you think of all the wins for Charlotte and how Bayley's had her moments and, you know, Bayley, do what?
Bayley's Hispanic. Bayley's last name is Martinez. She's Hispanic.
Well, I mean, I get that, but I'm saying she's not African-American. I'm saying she's had moments, you know, Bayley's had moments, you know, and arguably to me, Sasha, to me, when I think of women's wrestling, even with what Becky's done in the last year and a half, in the last decade, I think of Charlotte and then I think of Sasha. So it's just interesting. What about you, Sam? Just real quick, and then we'll get out of here.
So I think that it's possible they did. I could see her losing here because it won't hurt her as much. And then you could do next year, have her go towards the title and build up that story that she's never won at Mania. I also think that to piggyback off
or have her go like The Rock did the third time versus Stone Cold, where you make it, you know, like a central point, she's heel and she's like, I'm winning this.
And actually, I think that, you know, Ronel as the person, you know, not to tokenize you, Ronel, but I think that your opinion here is obviously, you know, I'm interested in your opinion. I think that, yeah, some of it is that I think that Vince is a guy who was raised in a trailer park in Jim Crow, North Carolina. And he might, you know, Samoans, I think he is fine maybe being the focal point of his company. Oh, clearly, because The Rock was the focal point. But I think that Vince...
Yeah, that's the only one. I mean, it's not like there's a long line of them.
Roman. I mean, but I think that for Vince, it's either... And both of them were biracial, I think. I think Roman's biracial. Anyway, neither here nor there. My point is that I don't think that Vince Russo got in shit for years ago for saying that he didn't want that as he was an American and he didn't care as much about Hispanic or Asian wrestlers because they weren't American, like, which is like
anyway. Cringe.
Yeah, it was really awful. And like even then people were like, Jesus Christ. I think that Vince McMahon has that same idea, is that he wants I think that his view of, and not even necessarily in like a malicious way, but in sort of the white privilege way, is that Vince's idea of a top star is a white or somebody who could is not necessarily visibly non-white.
And white passing.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that's what Vince views as the guy that he wants to run the company. I think that Charlotte is more who he views as the focal point of the women's division.
That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm saying when you treat, you know, champions that differently, who are, in my opinion, they're definitely in the same stratosphere. It's alarming when you look at it.
But that was my point. I mean, think about when Kofi came in and did, like that lasted the network. Chiron didn't even disappear before Kofi lost to Brock.
It was a long run, but I that's my point, is like, again, the way it ended, it just, you know what I'm saying, these, and that's why, again, with like Lashley, it's like, I hate to tell people I think McIntyre is going to win, but real quick, because Ronald, we do have to get out of here, but I do want to hear, like, I mean, do you think it's
Ronald's the one that we actually should be listening
do you
to
think it's on purpose or do you think it's more just a coincidence, because it just bad when I saw it. I didn't realize she had not won at Mania. Like, any
I didn't even realize that either. But no, I think Sam kind of got it right when it was one of those not maliciously intentional, just kind of one of those, you've gotten far, you're good, you know, you'll be okay kind of thing. And, you know, which is, I mean, almost worse, but, you know, like he said, you know, he grew up in North Carolina. He doesn't know better, no matter how well world traveled.
I can understand in the 80s and even maybe the 90s when people would say with older people, oh, they don't know any better. I'm sorry. If you're alive today, you know better. Like, you know better. Like, you were no more than 20, 30 years old when the civil rights started, and you have seen over and over again that racism is in this country, yada yada yada. I just don't give anybody an excuse anymore. It's like, at this point, I do believe you can do stuff, you know, without knowing it, and white privilege, right. But I'm saying, like, when it's patterns and with somebody like Vince McMahon, I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt with his track record.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that because, you know, quite honestly, it's got to come more from you, Sam.
Yeah, that was, I think, important for people. You know, I think that it hits different. I mean,
and I know that's what you wanted to say, and you're kind of tight. It's like, but I mean, the bottom line is he should be thinking about this, like, at this point. And he has proven in some ways that he has with, you know, the Kofi run and just like some of the stories that they've told, but not enough to where, I mean, you just look at like Naomi right now, like, where the fuck is she? You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many things that kind of make you go, wow. Sorry, I didn't mean to get like serious at the end of the podcast, but I did want to discuss that. So real quickly, you guys want to plug anything? Let's start with Ron L.
Well, right now, first and foremost, I want to plug the IB Sports Network podcast feed. I'm like totally stoked that you're back. I know that you and Alan will probably be getting to it. I know that you had said there's a tournament coming up for golf. So hopefully there'll be another mod pod because I personally very much enjoy that series. RC did a pair of amazing podcasts with both Sammy for the Justice League review. That was a really fantastic one, Sam. And then he also had another one with E-Man Reviews.
I haven't checked that one out, but I want to. I heard the one with Sam. They definitely needed me, though. Like, negative Nancy's. Goodness gracious. I was like, no wonder you guys think I'm so nice. I'm positive compared to you fuckers. Jesus.
I actually was more positive earlier in the day, and then I looked at the Restore the Cyberverse hashtag, and I was like, you entitled sons of bitches.
But yeah, but also, yeah, RC and E-Man Reviews just it was a really good podcast. Pair of African American men with a decent deal of influence talking about, you know, their stances on entertainment, but also, you know, navigating through their platforms, you know, just as a black man in America, which is really great. And as always, you can find me at harvestcreditors.com to set your appointments. Official Ron L. Tinsley on Instagram. If you have any problems on your credit report, get at me. If you mention the Team Turnbuckle podcast, save $100 on starting your services, including the ability to write your living will, trust, and power of attorney. Sammy.
I'm going to promote my Twitter, show610, H-O-U-G-H. I would recommend the Team Turnbuckle Twitter account as well. I would like to also promote, actually, sort of as we're on this topic and with the E-Man reviews, the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, which...
Gosh, we still have to watch that. My God.
It's all fast, yeah.
It's great. And I think that it's one of the most radical political movies. And it's very... I think it's an important example of why people who have the sort
no
of
no spoilers, but the ending's horrific, like just awful.
Yeah, I mean, the I'm not gonna get into this, but
yeah, I don't want to spoil it either. I'm just saying, like, it's seriously, like, I didn't know the story. I don't think most people do. It's just
I do, so I already know. Yeah, I was
like,
yeah,
like an American hero, but I think that it's very honest about who Fred Hampton was, and I would just definitely recommend it. All-Star, $5 a month, definitely pays for itself.
Again, we said the IB Sports Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. The March Madness tournament's going on. Both of our hosts, Sam and Ron L., are in this beast. Moving on to second round. You've already both won, right?
Yes. Yeah. My first IBN March Madness victory.
We're going to get Team Turnbuckle working for those guys in the groups, make sure they
can. And that's why you're the head of the team, because you're last year's MVP.
That's right. I will say, though, I got bounced last year thinking like the Sweet 16 or something in the tournament. It's tough, man. There's some guys that have been in here forever. But definitely the IB Sports Podcast Network. I was going to let people know, again, it helps us so much. Like, if you listen to these podcasts all the time, if you listen to them once a week, if you listen to them once every once in a while, it helps us so much if you just rate, review, subscribe, and share. like so much. It would help us continue to build this platform. Again, it is very good to be back. I love talking wrestling with these guys. And we'll be back this weekend to talk AEW Dynamite. We'll talk, obviously, SmackDown and any other news that comes up. I know we didn't get into Kane being in the Hall of Fame and some of the other things that came out today, but we'll get into all that stuff. But for Chief Keith Fleming, Ravishing Ron L. Tinsley, Sam the Shooter Howell, the Team Turnbuckle Podcast Trio is back. And we will see you guys soon.